400-verse treatise by Aryadeva, chapter 14, indicating the meditations for refuting grasping at extremes. Any functional phenomenon having true existence could not have come about from having relied on something else. Furthermore, upon ultimate analysis, its independently existing nature should be established by itself alone. But nothing at all exists like that. If you say, in terms of truly established existence, a vase is a form in general, they cannot be one. Otherwise, wherever there was a form, there would have to be a vase. Also, they cannot exist in different categories of things, with a vase possessing a form, like a man possessing a cow. Otherwise, a vase by itself would have to exist independently of being a form. Also, a vase cannot exist as the reliant basis of being a form, and a form cannot exist as a reliant basis of being a vase, since they cannot exist in separate independent categories of things and yet rely on each other. You Vaisheshikas see the two, namely the universal existence and the item of vase, as being in dissimilar, truly existent categories by definition. But then, if a vase were truly different from the phenomenon existence, it would not be reasonable for it itself to exist. Likewise, for what reason would the phenomenon of being existent not become truly different and separate from the vase, thus also rendering a vase non-existent? Moreover, you also say that basic things such as substances like the four elements and qualities such as number or quantity also exist in different truly existent categories. And although the basic things can exist on their own for a while to act as a basis for being qualified by a quality, yet qualities themselves can never exist on their own without qualifying some basic thing. But if you do not accept that the number or amount one can come to qualify a vase, then neither can a vase come to be qualified by the amount one as a qualifier. This is because you do not allow for the existence of the amount one before it comes to qualify the vase. And if you say that the vase comes to possess the amount one as a quality, yet the quality one cannot come to possess the vase as what it qualifies, then since possession must be made between equals, namely between what can come to possess and what can come to be possessed, and this possession is not between equals, then for this reason also, a vase cannot come to be qualified by the amount one. When the form of a basic thing as a quality of that substance amounts to just as much an extent as the substance itself, then, in the same way as the substance itself can possess the quality of being large, why can't the form, as another quality of the substance, also possess the quality of being large? If you opponents cannot justify your thesis that qualities cannot act as the basis of other qualities on any grounds other than scriptural authority, your tradition could be said to be logically deficient. Even if you admit the refutation of truly existent defining characteristics or qualities, but assert the true existence of examples of what are characterized by them, this too is unreasonable. Their true existence cannot be established in any way. In this way, there is no phenomenon that truly exists separately from any qualities such as number and so forth. A vase cannot be truly existent as one with its eight types of constituent subparticles, as you Sautrantikas assert. This is because, being not separate in nature from its eight types of subparticles, which each have their own individual defining characteristics, it too, as a single unit, would have to exist as eight truly existent things. But as each of the eight subparticles alone is not the vase, it is not reasonable for the vase to exist in a multiple manner of something truly existing separately from the eight. There can be no such thing as the simultaneous joining of the four elemental subparticles, earth, water, fire, and wind, which possess the ability to have contact, and the four subsidiary subparticles, form, smell, and touch, which not possess the ability to have contact, in order to form a single vase, for how would they all meet? Because of that, it is unreasonable in all respects for the joining of the eight subparticles of form and so on to establish an object that is a collection truly existing as a single unit. Form, for instance, is just one of the subsidiary subparticles of a vase. Therefore, individually, each of the four subsidiary subparticles cannot be the vase. Because of this, a vase, having these subsidiary subparticles, cannot have true existence as a collection relying on them. And for that same reason, the subsidiary subparticles as well cannot have true existence, since they too rely on directional parts. Further, as all forms are not dissimilar in their defining characteristics as form in general, Then if one form were to truly exist as a vase, for what reason would all others not also exist as a vase? Suppose you assert that form is truly different from taste and so on, since each type of subsidiary subparticle is cognitively taken by different senses, and yet a form is truly not different from a vase. Well, how could any vase that itself could not exist without including these subsidiary subparticles of taste and so on, which you say are different from form, not likewise be different from a form? A vase does not have truly existent causes, and it itself does not become a truly existent result. Because of that, there is no vase that can truly exist as different from its constituent causes, such as form and so on. As a vase becomes established from its own causes, and these causes become established from other causes, therefore anything not established from its own self-establishing nature can accordingly produce other things as its result. Even if the subsidiary subparticles of form, smell, and so forth were to gather together and meet each other to constitute a whole, it is unreasonable for form to become a smell, which it would need to become if they formed a truly existent homogeneous whole. Therefore, like a vase, it is illogical for any collections to exist as truly existent single units. Just as there could be no vase that can exist without depending on its constituent subsidiary subparticles, such as form and so on, likewise, there can be no subsidiary subparticles of form as well, without depending on the elemental subparticles of earth, wind, and so forth upon which they are imputed. Furthermore, fuel, which is in the nature of the three elements, earth, water, and wind, can become hot in the nature of fire. But without fuel, which can become hot, how can fire burn? Therefore, there can be no such thing as what is called truly existent fuel, existing independently of the element fire and in the nature of the three other elements. Also, there can be no truly existent fire without this fuel. Even if you say that fuel becomes hot when its own nature as earth, water, and wind is overpowered by the nature of fire, for what reason would the fuel not become fire at that instance? Because it was hot and burning. If you insist that hot burning fuel does not become of the nature of fire, well then, it is improper to say there is the existence of fire in relation to a different functional phenomenon that is not hot. If a subparticle of fire has no fuel, then there would be an independently existing fire without fuel, which amounts to asserting a fire that is causeless. Fearing this consequence, if you say that even this subparticle of fire has fuel, then it does not exist as a subparticle with the nature of being a truly existent self-contained unit. Any functional phenomenon, when fully examined, is found not to exist as a truly existent unit or oneness, since it is made of parts. And by the same reason whereby things do not truly exist as singular units, they do not truly exist as multiples either, since many is made up of several units, which themselves do not truly exist. Now consider the position in non-Buddhist systems which accept subparticles of earth and so on, but claim that they are not functional phenomena but static substances. If you were also to assert that such subparticles are truly existent as solitary units, well then, whatever reason you use to show that everything truly exists in a triple way, namely as substances, singular units, and truly existence, also proves that they do not truly exist as solitary units. For refuting the various philosophical positions of asserting existence, non-existence, both existence and non-existence, and neither existence nor non-existence, the learned should always apply such lines of reasoning as analyzing whether things are truly existently one and so on. There are many misconceptions that people can hold. For instance, just as by regarding a continuity in a faulty manner, you can come to the misconception that functional phenomena exist as static, likewise, by regarding a collection in a faulty manner, you can come to the misconception that functional phenomena truly exist. But whatever conventionally exists as having arisen by depending on causes and so forth cannot come to be found as having true independent existence. As all these things are not independent, therefore there is no such thing as a truly existent self, either of a person or of any phenomenon. Consider the assertion of functional phenomena as having true existence on their own, without or independent of the result they will produce, and which do not exist in the sense of always being gathered dependently on their result. Any such truly existent independent phenomenon being gathered for the sake of producing a result cannot be included in the sight of the total absorption of an arya, since aryas are focused on the non-true existence of dependent arising. In short, A seat of compulsive samsaric existence is the consciousness that grasps at true existence, while objects such as forms and so on are the objects it utilizes. But seeing that these objects have no truly existent self causes the seed of compulsive existence to come to an end.